You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Daily Vet Life Podcast, where we chat with equine veterinarians about the cases they've worked on in their clinics. I'm your host, Alex Beckstedt, Editorial Director of Equimanagement, and today I'm speaking with Dr. Timothy Leskin about his work in the field of equine orthopedics, as well as his experience using pentosan polysulfate sodium, a new joint therapy that just received FDA approval in December 2022. This episode of the Daily Vet Life Podcast is brought to you by DECRA. Dr. Leskin is a professor of large animal surgery and the interim head of Purdue University's Department of Veterinary Clinical Sciences. He attended veterinary school at the University of Melbourne in Australia, completed his residency at Purdue in 1999, and obtained board certification with the American College of Veterinary Surgeons in 2000. He completed his PhD in 2015. Dr. Leskin is an experienced equine surgeon with clinical interests in orthopedics, lameness, sports medicine, and general equine surgery. His research activities focus on clinical and preclinical orthopedic investigations. His current equine research interests include the use of modeling techniques, biomechanics, advanced imaging, and bone properties to assist in fracture risk prediction and prevention in racehorses. As a faculty member, Dr. Leskin enjoys teaching surgery and mentoring veterinary students, surgical residents, and graduate students. Thank you, Dr. Leskin, for joining us today.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I'm excited to have you on this episode to talk to us about some of your experiences managing equine joints, because as we know, joint issues and osteoarthritis in particular are so prevalent in our horse population. I was going through a list of literature that you've published on this topic and others, and it's quite extensive. I was wondering if you could briefly tell us a little bit about your research interests and kind of what you've learned over the years.
Yeah, so My main research interests have been in the area of orthopedics. I have done some retrospective studies where we've looked back on results of different you know, methods of treating fractures and different ways of treating infected joints. So septic arthritis is something that in my early career I had quite an interest in, and then over time it progressed more towards, with fractures at least, fracture repair and fracture management in horses is challenging. And so trying to explore some of the different ways that that could be done and led me down the path of looking at transfixation casts, which are sort of a modification of external fixators for say, the poor man's technique of the external fixator in a horse. And so I've done a lot of work on pins and pin integration into bone, and that led me into actually doing work, more preclinical work, looking at methods that we can get implants to integrate into bone, or bone to integrate onto the surface of implants better, and then some studies sort of working towards human products that end up, you know, being in that field as well. So I sort of had a zigzagging research career and interest in orthopedics and publications in that area are probably the main area that I've focused on. In my clinical practice, I've, along that same timeline, I've been a surgeon here at Purdue and spent some time in Australia in my early career in private practice, working racing industry, race horses here, a lot more show horses and different types of show horses. And so I have a lot of interest in lameness and clinically how, you know, we can sort of manage some of these horses long term in their careers. There's always challenges associated with that are, you know, they're never ending, you know, no case is the same. And so it's one of those things where you're sort of consistently looking for, you know, new ways to treat things and new ways to manage the difficult cases. And that's, I think, what is so rewarding about what we do and what we can do as veterinarians, is continue to find the challenge in what presents day to day. But my practice here in the university has been fairly large amount of lameness work, orthopedic work, but then also just general surgery. I'm a surgeon by training, and we have a general surgery practice, so really cover the gamut of the different surgeries that can be performed. So
yeah, it's really interesting work. Now, I know you probably use a lot of modalities on these cases, especially on these joint issues, but I know you were kind of one of the early users of Pentasan in particular. Can you tell us about that experience?
Yeah, well, my veterinary training was in Australia, and we had, when I graduated, and I did an internship in an equine practice in Australia, and, you know, my very early years there back in the 90s, mid-90s, was I was exposed to Pentasan as a product, and it was used heavily. It was licensed for use over there, and so a lot of the racehorse testing for different drugs was fairly strict in Australia. I believe it still is. And so there was a fairly long withdrawal times for standard intra-articular treatments. And so Pentasan was considered one of those treatments that could be used and would give us results. And so it was very common to have horses that are presenting with lameness, performance issues, things like that, to have them on Pentasan. And so it was a commonly used and popular product amongst Australian practitioners, and I believe it still is. For, you know, so that was a long time ago now, but it has lasted the test of time over there. And then obviously it's come here and to the US, and I have been a fairly quick adopter of it, knowing how it was such a helpful product way back then.
Calling all equine veterinarians. Are you tired of feeling like you're on an island when it comes to caring for your patients? Dechra Veterinary Products is here to bridge that gap. They understand the challenges you face. That's why they offer a comprehensive line of high-quality products like Zycosan and Osphos, and empower you to offer your patients cutting-edge therapies like ProVet APC. They're not just a supplier, though. Dechra provides ongoing training and support to help you stay ahead of the curve and deliver the best possible care. Visit www.dechra-us.com to discover how Dechra can be your partner in equine health. I know you've worked on tons of cases, but is there one that you were wanting to share with us today, with our listeners in particular?
Yeah, so I have a horse I know well that is, I have known him since he was a young horse. He actually had a fractured pastern when he was just a yearling, which we fixed and managed. But this horse is a show horse. He's got a multitude of, you know, joint issues like many show horses do. But over the years, we had, like a lot of horses are managed with intra-articular injections for various, we were regularly, you know, using, you know, steroids in his coffin joints and his hocks. But it got to a point where we switched into, when we got access to using Pentasan again with this horse, we basically got away from you. He was a horse that had to be managed through the season with regular injections. But then once we got back to using Pentasan, we managed to, you know, go away from using any joint injections for him. And I see I follow the horse closely. I see the improvement each time we treat him with Pentasan. And he's a teenager now, but he is still going strong. And so it's been a very useful way to manage this horse over the long haul of a show career. I think that's one of the reasons I think, you know, using Pentasan is a good strategy. And some of these horses that it's obviously not ideal to be injecting joints all the time. And so this is one example of a case where did manage the horse that way initially in his career, but got away from it successfully by switching over to just using Pentasan regularly. Now there may be a time in his future where we need to go back to more targeted treatments, but the systemic treatment, I think, helps, you know, manage this horse in a fairly straightforward way.
So what leads you to choose that particular treatment approach with the horse? I know you say you kind of want to get away from the joint injections, but, you know, when looking at the whole horse, when you're evaluating them, what would lead you down that path?
I often choose it either as an adjunct or in those horses that are either difficult to know if or figure out a specific joint problem, or ones that are just mildly, you know, mild performance limited horses that seem to have, you know, potentially multiple sorenesses. I think the fact that it's given systemically and will act in multiple locations is a big advantage. So, and that's where I think the show horses, a lot of them do have multiple sorenesses. And I think it can be, you know, beneficial in that way. Certainly, if I have a specific joint issue that I know it is a specific cause of lameness, or if the lameness is, you know, is more on the severe side that we need to be more targeted, then I still would do that. But to me, it offers that benefit of being able to be delivered systemically and, you know, achieving some help across the entire horse rather than just in a specific joint location.
So with this horse in particular, what is your plan as far as how regularly you follow up with him or communicating with the owner? Did you give the owner any specific advice going forward?
Yeah, so we treat probably every 6 months with Pentasan on the standard dosing regime, one treatment every week for 4 weeks, and then see how the response is. And I will use it more frequently than that if need be. There are some horses that we would even recommend going out and doing the initial treatment and then doing a monthly dose, a 3 milligram per kilogram dose after that. So it depends a little bit. This particular horse is on regular, you know, 6 monthly treatment, and that mainly corresponds with his, you know, show season, which is not, he doesn't show 12 months of the year. He gets a break through the winter here in Indiana.
And so is he able to compete at the same level this whole time?
Yeah, he continues to, you know, compete at the same level that he's been. He's fairly consistent in his, you know, his training and in his showing approach. So it's been a way to keep him, you know, going, so to speak, for a fairly good long career right now.
Yeah, that's great to be able to have the ability to manage these issues and maintain the horse at that level. So what other cases have you worked on that might have been a little bit different or unusual or maybe not unusual that you could share with us about and how you've kind of worked through them?
Yeah, as I said, I think early in my career, the racehorse population was one where we used it regularly. And I think that was, again, for similar reasons, the racehorses often have more than one area of soreness that is potentially performance limiting. So that's sort of one area. The other cases that come to mind, and these I don't have the specific horses, you know, information top of mind right now, but I have seen over the years a number of horses that have presented with, and we've worked them up, presented with lameness. We've worked them up, and that part of the history is that they've been treated with, you know, Pentasan, and they've presented with, after we've worked them up and got to a diagnosis, with actually rather advanced radiographic changes, but very mild lameness. And what I don't know, it often has surprised me on these cases that these horses, despite some progression of their osteoarthritis, are still, you know, only just presenting with early signs of problems for the owner. So in my mind, those are cases where I've presumed, rightly or wrongly, that the use of the Pentasan has helped them, despite or in the face of developing osteoarthritis, still maintain some comfort and ability to still perform as it progresses, until, you know, sometimes they're going to get to a point where the lameness needs to be evaluated and worked up and get an answer as to exactly what's going on. But sometimes the radiographic signs of arthritis are more advanced than you would expect for the degree of lameness. And a common thread in these cases has been the use of Pentasan on those horses prior to, you know, presenting. So those are a couple of situations where I feel like I've seen perhaps the results, whether it be the performance side of things or the ability for it to suppress or have less of a clinical issue despite the, you know, progression in some horses of some osteoarthritis.
Have you seen it be useful or would you recommend it for, you know, the aging older horse that's just got some typical arthritis?
I would. I would absolutely. And there's a couple of things there that would make me say it's got advantages there. One is, you know, some of these older horses, as they might even be developing other you know, systemic diseases, PPID, or you know, what we used to call Cushing's disease, where they may be slightly immunosuppressed. Again, this is a horse that not necessarily wanting to, you know, go injecting joints. And so using a systemic product like the Pentasan is helpful, keeping them, you know, more comfortable as they age. I think those are a good example of a situation where it will, can be very helpful.
So how do you yourself stay up to date with the latest therapies like this drug becoming approved recently, or even some of the latest techniques and technologies in surgery? How do you stay up to date with all the things that are changing in the veterinary industry?
Yeah, it's challenging. There's no doubt about that. It is challenging. I think I'm fortunate to be in a role where part of my job really is to try and stay up to date. But a lot of things change rapidly. It seems like those things are increasing and changing more rapidly as time goes on. But I certainly, you know, we run a residency program here with surgical residents. And so part of our job is to be keeping them informed, training them, and staying up to date with what's out in the published literature as part of their training. So it becomes part of our job to do that. But again, it really is challenging to keep up to date on every aspect of what we could consider, say, you know, equine, sports medicine, lameness, surgery, those areas, which are the areas I'm interested in. But it's certainly challenging. And I think out in practice, when I was in practice, it was one of the things, and it gets put last on your list of things to do for the day or the week is to go and read a few articles to try and stay up to date. So that's even more challenging, I think, when you're out in practice, just being able to keep abreast of the current literature. I think the other ways that we do it, and I certainly think this is helpful, is obviously continuing education meetings and things like that, reading review articles, those types of things, talking to colleagues. I think a lot of what we pass between each other in terms of amongst colleagues is information that's distilled down into the need to know part of it, and that's very helpful. And so having a good network of people to talk to, and, you know, we know specific people that have specific interests in areas, and so it's often helpful to get on the phone and talk to somebody about what they would do in a certain situation, or what they know about the latest on this or that topic, because, you know, those conversations are, as I say, distilled down to really the need to know part of the information. So I do a little bit of all of those things to stay current as current as I can. I think it is a challenging part of what we do, though.
Well, and I know you only have so many hours in the day, so.
That's true.
Well, are there any other tidbits, words of wisdom, bits of advice that you'd like to share with veterinarians that are treating osteoarthritis and looking at these horses regularly?
You know, I guess some of what I have seen over the years is little bits of progress. And why I say that is I think it has been an area where it can be frustrating, because I think you don't always see big leaps and bounds in our ability to manage a progressive and somewhat degenerative disease. I think that the little improvements that we see in therapies over time are, you know, we've come a long way, and I think that's really encouraging. And I think both, you know, in a surgical sense, there are things that certainly can be done. We've got a better understanding of how important some of the things are that we do surgically that can be helpful. But then from the medication point of view, obviously products like Pentasan help us a lot. And there's other things, you know, biologics and other areas of treatment that are advancing as well. And I think it's exciting to actually be a part of trying to, you know, move the needle forward in these areas. And then I guess the other aspect of it is, you know, we're learning a lot more about rehabilitation and ways in which physical therapies can be beneficial to the horse. And so I think that's a continuing to be explored area in terms of performance and lameness. And obviously we've got imaging modalities that are helping us out now in areas that we never dreamed we would be looking at. So we actually have a CT here where we can put an entire horse you know, adult horse in the CT gantry and image their pelvis and be getting information about things that we didn't know in the past. So I think a lot of things are really still moving forward at a rapid pace in those areas. And to me, it's exciting just to be kind of along for the ride, so to speak, but it is. There's still a lot to learn and a lot of things on the horizon. I think the research field can offer things that are going to change the way we're practicing in 5 to 10 years' time, and that's still exciting to me.
Yeah, it's certainly a complex and evolving field, that's for sure.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah. Well, thank you for chatting with us. That was super interesting and insightful. So thank you, Dr. Leskin, for joining us on Daily Vet Life and for sharing your case examples with us.
No problem at all.
And as always, thank you to DECRA for their support.
Thanks, Alex.